Nathan Hubbard. Spring has sprung, the birds are chirping, and the pop girls are pop girling.
Nora Princiati, the pop girls are girling. What does that even mean? You wrote this trailer. I do not talk like this, Nora.
But I try so hard to teach you.
Well, here's what I do know. This spring is packed with new releases from some of the biggest pop stars in the world, including our girl, Taylor Swift.
And every single album is back to cover it all.
We'll, of course, break down every angle on the Tortured Poets Department, out April 19th. But we'll also cover new music from Beyonce, Dua Lipa, Maggie Rogers, Kacey Musgraves, Ariana Grande, and whoever else just might surprise us this spring.
It's Pop Girl Spring on every single album.
New episodes starting March 28th, just in time for Cowboy Carter, up through Dua Lipa's Radical Optimism in May.
So subscribe to every single album on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
And welcome to another episode of the Bakari Sellers podcast. During silly season, as you all know, we like to bring on very smart people to help us walk through and navigate what's going on in this circus around us. And today we have none other than Jessica Hill from, I will say this, she's working now in the great state of Nevada. I've also been yelled at on TV for calling it Nevada, and that's not how you pronounce it, but it is Nevada. Jessica, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. That's some artwork behind you. Where are you from? Where are you located in the world? That's nice.
I live in Henderson, kind of near Las Vegas in Nevada. I think I got this from Facebook Marketplace, though, so not very exciting.
So we start each one of our shows by having our guest. It's the same question for each guest, from, you know, Cicely Tyson to Jessica Hill, right? Walk us through the arc of your career. Talk about each of your career stops up to the work you do now with the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Sure. So I am originally from Ohio. I graduated from Ohio University in 2019. Got a internship at the Cape Cod Times in Massachusetts after that. Worked there. Got a full-time job after that for a couple of years. And then the Las Vegas Sun, which is another paper here in Vegas, reached out to me and asked if I wanted to cover politics. That's something that I'd never done before. Mostly in Cape Cod, I was just covering kind of like environmental issues, small town, local government issues. Water was a big thing. So I was definitely very much out of my element, but you know, it's very rare that you have the opportunity to just move across the country and see how things go. You know, I thought worst case scenario, if I don't like living in the desert, I could move back somewhere else and, you know, figure it out. But I moved here and it was really great. It's a big shock. You know, I'm used to seeing greenery and not used to seeing all the brown, but it's actually really beautiful here. There's a lot to do. I worked at the Las Vegas Sun covering politics, getting up to speed a little bit. Worked there for about a year, and then the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is the larger paper in Nevada, reached out and asked if I wanted to come work for them. And that was like a pretty big step because it's a much bigger paper and just a little bit more organized, I would say. And I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. And I really like it. It's covering politics here in Nevada. I'm not sure if you know, but it's a little bit wild. We had like a Las Vegas city councilwoman allegedly break another city councilwoman's finger and like pull her hair and stuff. So stories can get a little
wild. Did you just have a former clerk or somebody in Las Vegas like commit a murder?
Allegedly, this guy running for Congress in 2020, I believe, he lost to Democrat Susie Lee, but he was charged with murder that happened. I forget when it was exactly, but yeah, allegedly in some hotel room, he pushed a guy or punched him. We don't know. So that's exciting.
Allegedly. I know.
Allegedly.
So like, let's delve into Nevada politics. For people who don't know much about it, talk about the people and the places that matter in terms of presidential politics in Nevada. And what makes it such a swing state in your view and experience? I hear a lot about Nevada independence and how independent voters are, but what makes it a swing state?
A lot of it is the libertarian roots that are still very much at play here. You know, this is the Wild West and we don't like government telling us what to do. That's why we're a very pro-choice state. Even if you'll see like some Republicans say that they're pro-life, but they'll personally never implement any sort of restriction around it. And you see that a lot in like all of these different elements. Just people don't want government in our business. Even Democrats tend to be a little bit more moderate. Republicans tend to be a little bit more moderate. To win, you have to be like that a little bit. I think that is what really makes us more of a swing state. You have to appeal to the more moderate voter here for sure. And then as far as like just some, you know, big things at play here, we, you know, in 2022, the only Republican to or a couple of the only Republicans to win really had to be more moderate. We have Republican Governor Joe Lombardo. And he was being elected with Adam Laxalt, who was the former attorney general here, who was a little bit more conservative. And Lombardo was able to win, I think, because he was able to toe that line between moderate and Republican a little bit more. And so he's definitely like a huge figure here. He is probably our, you know, highest Republican elected official right now. And then we have two senators, Senator Cortez Masto and Senator Rosen, both Democrats. And then our U.S. House of Representatives, we have one Republican up north. In more rural areas, Nevada is more red. Mark Amadei covers up north, which has a lot of rural areas. And then our three other representatives are Democrats and cover down here in Las Vegas. Las Vegas and Reno are, you know, the biggest cities, as I'm sure you know. And then we have Carson City, which is our capital. But rural counties actually do play a large role, too. We have 17 counties. Only two of them are really, you know, not rural, more urban. So that's kind of a little bit about how the system works here.
Each of the polls I've seen out of Nevada have the president up, but most are within the margin of error. Do you think the polls are accurate? And if you had to profile an independent voter in Nevada, who is that voter and what motivates them?
Let's see. That's a good question. I think, you know, polls are just a snapshot of what's going on right now. And it depends on who is taking those polls. I know so many people that would not personally participate in a poll if they get asked, you know, so I always take polls with a grain of salt. I would say it's difficult to know. I think Trump has been leading here for a while, and I think the economy has a big role to play with that. There was a poll recently that showed people view the economy under Trump more favorably than they do how it is right now with Biden. When you talk to a lot of independent voters here, it depends on kind of the age when you talk to them, but a lot of them are, one, disappointed in the rematch, the likely rematch of a Biden and Trump election in 2024. And a lot of them are disappointed with the economy, but also a lot of them are not ready to, you know, elect a Republican who would say that they would put any restriction on an abortion and any kind of abortion restriction, basically. I think a lot of those play a role. And as I said, like that libertarian mindset, you know, people might, you know, be pro-abortion, but also they want more maybe conservative policies when it comes to the economy. So it's kind of, that's one of the reasons why it's a purple state for sure. But it just depends on the kind of independent voter that you're talking to. I think a lot of them tend to lean a little bit more liberal. But that is to say, with the state of the economy, they might be swayed to Republican, you know, just like in 2022, the reason why Governor Lombardo was able to be elected was because he, you know, was able to toe that line. So I think with the election coming up, the Republican candidates really need to be able to toe that line too. And I think 2022 kind of showed what happens when you go a little too far to the right or too far to the left.
What other macro issues? I mean, you mentioned abortion a number of times, but what other macro issues are at play? And is abortion going to be one of the determinative factors? I mean, Trump is also always proud of nominating the three judges that overturned Roe v. Wade. I was like, what am I trying to say here? Okay. and is that going to be a looming issue, or are there more issues out there?
I think Democrats will make that the big issue. That's what they did in 2022, and were very successful with that. I think it'll be harder for them to do it now because a lot of the Republican candidates are saying, you know, we're not going to support any sort of restriction. And if they say otherwise, then it'll be really hard for them to get elected. So yeah, Democrats want that to be a big issue. I think Republicans will fight back of that being a big issue. Republicans will really try to focus on the economy, inflation, you know, housing. It's a problem all over the country, but it's a really big struggle here, as Las Vegas has been, you know, growing for years, especially during, like, after COVID, a lot of people were able to work remotely. And because of that, a lot of people from, like, California and other, like, higher income states moved to Nevada, and really, like, increased the competition among locals for housing. So housing is a big issue. And then, you know, education has always been a big issue here in Nevada. We have one of the worst ranked education systems, and year after year after year, politicians try to, you know, figure out how to improve that rating. And it's been really difficult. Governor Lombardo, for instance, has tried. The previous Democratic governor, Steve Sisolak, has also made steps to just, like, increase our education budget. So statewide, education is a huge issue as well. So education, economy, energy is a big thing too. Here in Nevada, we have a lot of, you know, solar, you know, opportunities for solar farms. And a lot of our Democratic Congress people have been really trying to push for that too.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So, Nevada is also a heavy labor state, and we've seen the president and vice president court that, particularly at the service unions, given the hospitality industry in Vegas. How much of a role will they play in the fall? And I'd have to imagine this is largely to the benefit of President Biden.
Yes. The biggest union we have is the culinary. They run, their members are in, you know, all the casinos, restaurants, hospitality. You know, they're the waitresses, casino workers, that kind of thing. They have historically played a huge role since they've been around. when Senator Harry Reid was around, he was, you know, his election was due to the culinary. And Representative Stephen Horsford, he's the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. He credits the union with getting him elected. They will always play a role, and they helped to get Biden elected. They're going to be doing, you know, a huge campaign effort this cycle too. And they make up, I forget the exact numbers, but they are very strong. They have a large base, and all their members go out and door knock during election cycles.
That's the most amazing thing about that union, in my opinion, is that it's not just a voting bloc, but they are active participants in the political process. I mean, they literally knock on doors. They go and make sure their union members and everybody else in Clark County are on board. That's a little bit different than most. Talk about the Senate race in Nevada, which is going to be take up a lot of resources. Talk to our listeners about who Jackie Rosen is and what are we seeing in her race against Sam Brown, and who is Sam Brown?
Yeah. So Jackie Rosen is our junior senator. She was a pick from Harry Reid, and so was Cortez Masto, the other senator. Both of them were, you know, recommendations from Harry Reid. She is more moderate than others. She was, like, named, I think she was number 9 of the top most bipartisan senators, the most likely to cross the aisle. I think that will really help her this election cycle. You see that, you know, with a lot of stuff that she does, she always, you know, she's been pushing a lot of, like, these are the bills that I've worked with Republicans on. And as I said, that libertarian mindset here in Nevada, they both of the senators have done stuff to, like, cross their party lines to vote. They're both, like, you know, very pro mining. It's interesting to see how they'll, like, cross away from their party just for, you know, Nevada specific issues. So yeah, she's more moderate, which I think could be a detriment to the Republican candidate, Sam Brown. He is originally from Texas, and he ran in the 2022 Senate race as a Republican, but lost to Adam Laxalt in the primary. People have, like, criticized him for being a carpetbagger and, like, a DC pick. But, you know, a lot of people are transplants here in Nevada. It's very rare to find people that are actually, you know, from here. So I don't think that's, like, a huge discredit on him. And he is very much of the mindset of, you know, supporting the economy and growing it, very big on immigration, which is a big issue here too, even though we're not actually a border state. People are really interested in the immigration system. I'm trying to think what else I could say about him.
Answer this question for me real quick. Is Rosen overperforming or underperforming President Biden in Nevada?
I think she's overperforming. In all of the polls that I've seen, she's been ahead of everyone else, of different potential Republican opponents. Sam Brown is leading in the race, but there's a ton of other Republican candidates. There's Jeff Gunter, who was, like, a former ambassador under the Trump administration. And then we also have Jim Marchant, who has run for a lot of elections and is a huge election denier. He claims that he was, you know, a victim of election fraud every single time. So that's fun. But Sam Brown is definitely in the lead because he has the backing of the D.C. Republicans. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Right now, Senator Rosen is very much in the lead. She's done a good job of, you know, she's very much, like, supportive of Joe Biden. And that's been, you know, a tool that Republicans have used to criticize her for, you know, being, like, a lackey to Biden is what they say. But she's also done a good job, as I said, just playing that moderate field and being a little bit more willing to cross aisles. So it's harder for conservative candidates to be like, she is 100% in line with Biden, you know.
I asked this we just did a Wisconsin swing state check-in, but Nevada was a state that in 2020 was decided by 33,596 voters. So Black voters could be decisive in swinging the state, given how close it could be. What are you seeing on the ground in terms of what Black voters are saying and the issues that are motivating or perhaps even suppressing their enthusiasm?
That's a good question. I think.
And lastly, are they all in Clark County?
A lot of them are Washoe too, but Clark County is probably the more diverse county. Black voters are definitely going to be decisive. I think for us, the Latino population will be a little bit more at play here. They've kind of been the population that's been growing the most over recent years. And they have historically voted more Democrat, same with the Black voters. But the Democrats haven't really been able to secure that vote this time around. And I think that's what you'll see in the next like several months here as we ramp up, really gearing toward the Latino vote and the Black vote. However, I think the economy is always going to be a big issue for everybody. And, you know, it's hard to paint, you know, demographics with like a broad brush here. But for Latinos especially, you know, they make up a lot of the hospitality industry. And so economy is a huge issue. But they also, a lot of them are members of the culinary union. So I think you'll see that a lot too with pushing for the Democrats.
I mean, that's going to be very interesting to see. Usually Clark County is one of the more fascinating organized counties in the entire state. And they report so late. I don't know why they just dump their box late.
Yeah.
It makes
and
it
I'll like,
hard.
I'll go to Trump events or different Republican events. And I think it's very indicative of what's going on. Looking for a person of color in the crowd, it can be a little bit challenging when you go to Trump events. And I think that really does say a lot about where the different Democrats are.
Talk about the resources on the ground. I mean, are you seeing, I know there's a Senate race, so I'm assuming that those are up and going, but are you seeing a Trump operation or a Biden operation, or is Trump just a kind of, I'm just going to be who I am and come in with my personality?
I think you definitely see that a lot. For Trump, I think it's the Republican Party that is really pushing for him and doing all of his work. The leaders of the Republican Party are good friends with Donald Trump, and some of them were also the fake electors submitted fake electoral certificates for him. They actually were recently indicted, and they're kind of going through a court process right now for submitting those electoral certificates. So for the Republican Party, they're basically running the operation from what I can gather here. For Biden, however, they have a huge work office here that's going on. And also the Nevada Democratic Party is doing a lot of work for him, too. But they seem to be more on the ground from what I can tell. And then I believe like there's a lot of like Nevada locals that are running Biden's campaign. I think the executive director or something is from Nevada and was a Nevada Democrat spokesperson or something.
So let me ask you this, because this is what you would know better than anybody. Resources. What resources should we follow? What polls should we follow? What reporters should we follow so that we're not getting a bunch of bullshit coming out of Nevada?
Well, I recommend following the Review Journal. It's always a good source. The Nevada Independent also does a lot of really good work. I'm not sure. You probably know John Ralston.
John Ralston.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. He's always good to follow. There's Casey Harrison, who used to work at The Sun, is now going to be working somewhere else in Nevada. He's a good person to follow. Tabitha Mueller is a good one. There's a lot of actual reporters on the ground doing the work who I think are really good to, you know, follow.
Are there Nevada specific issues that you think move the needle for voters in Nevada? For example, is there an issue in Nevada like what fracking is in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. So one of them is Yucca Mountain.
I hear that all the time. Tell me what that is.
Yeah. So it's a project where people would, or different states would come and dump our nuclear waste in Nevada in the desert. It's a bipartisan issue. Everybody obviously in Nevada is opposed to it. They don't want, you know, nuclear waste in our state. What you'll see across the board, Republican, Democrats, they all are going to push against it. I think just yesterday, Representative Lee was a Democrat. She, you know, pushed for never seeing a budget to have this proposal come forward. It's basically dead in the water, but it could always be revived. So that's a very big issue here. Water, of course. We have
what
a shortage
about water?
Of water. Lake Mead is going to. Yeah, we have Lake Mead, and it's been lowering due to climate change and just shortages and whatnot. So our representatives are always looking to negotiate our allocation of Colorado River water. I think we have about, you know, we share this water with California, Utah, Arizona, Mexico, because the water runs down to Mexico. So allocation is always a big thing. California has a lot of our water allocation, and we have only 4%. But we are able to recycle all of our water. I'm not sure if you know this, but here in Las Vegas, we recycle all of our water. So we like to joke that we're drinking toilet water because we are. The only water that we can't reuse is stuff outside that is for irrigation. And that has really helped with our
That's
allocation.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting, yeah. But it's actually, it's safe, it's fine. Try not
sure,
to think about
sure,
when you come here.
Sure, sure. Maybe 3 hits, only in Las Vegas. So water, Yucca Mountain are the 2 largest issues. What about marijuana and sex work?
Yeah, sex work is interesting. We have a county a little bit north, I believe, of Las Vegas, of Clark County. It's called Nye County, and there prostitution is legal, which is kind of a fun.
Isn't that where the Bunny Ranch is or whatever? The HBO?
Yeah. Yeah, the Chicken Ranch.
Chicken. Yeah, that guy ran for office one day or something, didn't he?
I think he did. Yeah. And I thought that there's a guy who ran for office and then died, but then won anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little bit before my time here. So that's interesting. It doesn't really play a big role, though, politically. You don't really hear people talking about it. You know, Nye County has its own thing, and it's kind of fun to, like, you know, joke about. But it's not a big issue here.
And marijuana.
What was the other thing that you mentioned? Yeah, we have a few, like, dispensary lounges coming out. It is a big issue. But, again, that libertarian mindset, like, nobody really cares. Open up your marijuana shop, so we don't care. Just don't tell us not to, you know. That's kind of the mindset.
Is there, like, in South Carolina, it's a weird libertarian type thing, but it cross-pollinates with this Southern Baptist. Is there a huge religion aspect to Nevada?
Not really. Not from what I've seen, no. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jessica, thank you for joining the show today. We wanted to check in with Nevada. We're going to follow up with you as we get closer to the election, because Nevada is wild and crazy in this silly season.
It is crazy. People sleep on Nevada. People should be paying attention to it, for sure.
I mean, what we need to do is have a reality show that follows reporters around while you go cover these stories.
That would be fun. We could witness someone breaking another person's finger, which happens a lot, I guess.
Thank you for joining the Bukhari Sellers podcast. Be blessed.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.